Thanks for listening to the Best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
We talked about Myles Garrett a little bit in that first segment. We talked about Rob Manfred as well. And I think that there are some correlations between the stories just in that there are things out there that can't be proven on both sides. We don't know exactly. I think it's hard to believe that if you're Rob Manfred, you say something was a player's issue and then don't actually suspend said players. What exactly is the deterrent from me cheating if it doesn't penalize me? And him basically saying it hurt them. Hurt ain't enough. Not in this case. If this is the integrity of your sport and you're the commissioner of baseball, for me, I haven't talked about this story basically at all on any opportunity that I've had behind a microphone since it broke. Today's really the first time I've ever touched on it. Mainly because I've just kind of thought, okay, that's crazy, but I think that but a lot of times is followed by it's baseball. You remember how much time was spent on virtually every sports radio show for weeks and weeks and weeks about Deflategate? I don't think it's been that way here. I mean, people weren't leading off with Manfred even last night on a lot of shows. They were leading off with Aaron Gordon being robbed in a dunk contest and a close All-Star game, and how Adam Silver has fixed the All-Star process in the NBA. If this were football, we'd never hear the end of it. I think the two things going against this story are, one, it's baseball, and two, it's a feckless move from the commissioner and a feckless press conference and a feckless sit-down conversation with Ravitch, where he didn't seem like he knew the drill. He just came across like he had no spine. And you got people wanting to see Jose Altuve's tattoo and all sorts of just craziness surrounding this story. But none of the players are being disciplined here? And look, we know it's going to be legendary stuff every time the Astros go on the road this year. Maybe not just this year. But think about the opposing crowds in a lot of the buildings that they're going to play in, these edifices that they're going to go play baseball in, and what they're going to encounter, and how often we're just going to hear announcers back away from the microphone and let the moment speak for itself. And it's going to be a whole lot of jeering, a whole lot of signs, all these kinds of things, unless there's like some ban placed on what fans can bring to the ballparks this year to try and heckle the Astros. But I mean, the trash cans and everything else. But that's still not enough if they actually cheated your sport and you want your sport to have any gravitas whatsoever. Whether or not I think this is Watergate, which I do not, because I just have always thought that baseball teams are trying to get an advantage, like every team in every sport is trying to get an advantage if they have an opportunity to do so. If you're the commissioner, you have to put out the aura that your sport is huge and it matters, and that everything that happens is a matter of national security, basically. And the way Manfred put this out there, it's almost like he was trying to downplay it. I know it's a bad look for MLB, but he needs to act like he's laying a hammer down. He needs to pick up that mallet and just drop it on somebody. And he's not doing that. Yeah, it's usually the general manager and it's usually the manager or ownership that get tagged in a lot of these scandals. But if you're going to suspend a bunch of people for steroids, I don't know why the players aren't being suspended. You had Justin Turner. Rob Manfred basically, well, not basically, specifically said that the World Series trophy is like, do we just take back a, quote, piece of metal, unquote. That's what he said about his own trophy. The thing that's given out for after playing baseball for half a year and going through Hades to get to the World Series and winning that, they win that, quote, piece of metal, unquote. I'm not saying he's wrong to call it a piece of metal. I'm saying that's a stupid thing to say out loud because it undercuts the very value of the sport in which he's supposed to reign supreme. Like, even if you have a weak country, you probably shouldn't tell people you have a weak country if you're the president of that country. You don't stand up in the State of the Union and say, you know what? We're barely hanging on right now. If somebody attacked us right now, we would be down for the count. You don't say that. Pro wrestlers don't cut promos and say, I'm average. They say, I'm the best. Whether it's true or not, whether or not they've lost 15 matches in a row, they're still going to stand there and puff out their chest and tell you they're the best. Baseball, because of the way its commissioner spoke, sounded like it's not the best. It's not even second best. And what you get at the end of the rainbow of a baseball season isn't a pot of gold. It's a, quote, piece of metal, unquote. That's not good. I'm not saying dude should be relieved of his duties or should resign. I am saying that that's one of the most tone-deaf and poorly executed, thought-out, and performed statements that you could ever have from someone in that level of power and authority in a major American sport. It's unthinkably bad. 877-99 on Fox. That's 996-6369. I think we have Sean on the line. Let's go to him real quick. I don't think he's a big fan of Manfred either. Sean, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good. How you doing? Thanks good. For taking my call. I'm really ticked about this. I have a 13-year-old boy who plays baseball, and we're Cardinals fans. We have Cardinals season tickets for the last 10 years, and he's done with baseball because they're not doing nothing about this. The 1919 Chicago White Sox, 8 players got banned for life.
Right.
They have players that take the PED stuff like that get banned for half a year. It's been proven that they cheated. They came out in a minute they got cheated. And then you have Pete Rose, one of the greatest hitters of all time, cannot get into the Hall of Fame because he gambled on baseball. The guy never bet on his own team to lose. He lost millions of dollars betting on his own team. So I'm just done with this, and I hope every American that listens to your show bans baseball, and so Rob Manfred will get kicked out of the gosh dang baseball league, and the Astros should be banned, and they should start all over by putting their farm team in and banned the players that did this.
So you think ban, like lifetime bans, that's what you would want for punishment? Is he gone? All right. He basically just said that the Astros should get the death penalty. And that they're like, I wonder if he's cool if the AAA players play. Or if you have to go like to the single A affiliate. I don't even know what it is for the Astros. We can find that out. I have no idea. Let's bring in Dub. He's in here in the studio with me. How much have you paid attention to this scandal in terms of the specifics, more so than just kind of wanting to see how it plays out?
Well, it's kind of hard to not notice it. You know,
of course.
I mean, it's all over the place. I honestly paid a little bit more attention to it, you know, when it first came out, when all the athletic reports were out, and then they, you know, there was people on Twitter that would find the game clips and you'd be able to hear the actual trash cans being hit and stuff like that. And it is just the whole thing in itself is just amazing how blatant it was, banging trash cans to tell you what pitch was coming. I mean, it is really just unbelievable that they did it and that they got away with it basically for so long. And it took, you know, they did this for multiple seasons, and we're just now finding out about it during their World Series run that this was going on. But in terms of Rob Manfred, I mean, I'm not sure how much worse he could have handled this with the press, at least. I mean, because some of those press conferences and some of his statements, especially like you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, we're not just going to hand back a piece of metal. I mean, if you're the commissioner of a sport, I mean, could you imagine Roger Goodell saying something like that in the NFL? I couldn't imagine that at all. But this story, it's all, and one thing that, you know, they've come out and said, you know, we will not be tolerating any pitchers throwing at Houston batters.
The over-under is like 82 or 83 for the year right now.
Yeah, and you got to imagine there's going to be some suspensions there. So, you know, pitchers that throw at these players are going to get suspended more games than these players that actually cheated, which is just kind of funny in itself. But it's going to be, you know, in a weird way, this is probably going to be good for baseball because I think a lot more people are going to tune in and watch. I probably will. I don't really watch a whole lot of regular season baseball, but if the Houston Astros are on ESPN or on Fox, I might tune in for an inning or two to see.
What is the most interesting thing to happen on a baseball diamond over the past 5 years, other than the Cubs winning their first World Series? It's this, probably.
I don't think this has anything
to do with the game. It has a lot to do with the game, but it has nothing to do with sitting there and watching the game. It's a story that's now off the field. It's off the diamond because it's over. We're talking about a scandal. We're not talking about pitchers and catchers reporting. We're not talking about opening day coming up here in about a month. We're not talking about any of these kinds of things, but we are talking about baseball in the off season. I don't believe in all publicity is good publicity, but what you just said, I think there's a lot of legitimacy behind, and that is people might watch some Astros just to, especially if they're on the road, just to see what is going on every time they play.
And I'm curious, these TV networks, if they've adjusted their Astros scheduling already, because they know, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure this one out. You know, people are going to watch when the Astros are playing, and especially, like you said, on the road. So I'm curious to how many road Astros game they've suddenly bumped up to national prime time on ESPN and Fox just because of that reason alone.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about ratings, it's all about entertainment, and I think the Astros are certainly going to provide a plethora of that for all the wrong reasons for them, but hey, we're just consumers of entertainment at this point. We'll find it, you know? We will root through the garbage and we will find it if need be to make baseball interesting. Especially in April and May in the doldrums, because most people aren't paying attention to baseball until we get towards the end of summer. I might watch the first game for the Astros. I might actually watch 9 innings of that game just to hear like how it's announced, how it's broadcasted, everything surrounding it. And I don't care at all whether or not they win a game or not, but I might watch some of their games. And I'm a Braves fan, and I barely even watch 9 innings of them in a row anymore just because baseball just seems like a sport that is played on black and white televisions. Even when it's not, at least until you get to the postseason.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.
We've got a couple of phone calls here. Basically, I've touched on Myles Garrett and I've talked about the baseball scandal and sort of some of the correlations and similarities between integrity of punishments and integrity of accusations and things of that degree. But, Dub, who do we have on the line?
Yeah, let's go to Ben in West Palm Beach to start things off.
All right, Ben in West Palm Beach.
Hey,
what's up?
Good morning,
Ben?
Guys. What I just wanted to say was I think when with these scandals across sports, the reaction or uproar about it solely depends on who the team is, who the player is. You mentioned the Deflategate being drawn out for years. Well, that's because it's Tom Brady and the Patriots. Mm-hmm. You know, you either love them or you hate them. If it were a Browns quarterback that happened to, I think – you know, the media would laugh about it. You know, they're cheating and still can't win, and it'd be over in 48 hours. Or with the baseball, if it was the New York Yankees going through this, I think it might be a story for a decade. I think it really depends on who the team is, who the player is, and that kind of determines what kind of outrage or media coverage it gets. I'm not sure if I'm off on that, but it's just kind of how I feel.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right about that. And it does matter. And that's why I have a hard time with those that believe that the NFL is somehow hiding evidence of Mason Rudolph using a racial slur against Myles Garrett, Jeff, because why would the NFL be defending Mason Rudolph?
Well, there's no reason for them to defend Mason Rudolph, but I think with the audio, something that needs to be discussed is the way, and I don't know if you discussed this, is the way the audio is processed. So, during a game, normally a quarterback is mic'd up or the two guards are typically mic'd up. And it's more for background noise, all the grunting you hear and then all the things you hear pre-snap. They're not on during the snap. They're definitely not on in a ruckus, right? So, and even if they were, I don't think the audio would be great. So the NFL wouldn't be smart to release muffled audio of an incident where someone might have said something inappropriate. They'd almost be worse, right? You have people sleuthing through the audio trying to find the exact word that was said. I don't think they have audio. So I don't even think they could suppress the audio. So, look, my whole take on this is kind of simple. Look, I don't know if Myles Garrett is a liar. I know people have said, and this might be the most plausible explanation, he thought he heard something. But I'll say this. Having been on the field for 8 years, having been in a locker room for 8 years, even playing in college for 4 years, if this was said, whether it was whispered, whether it was shouted, for whatever reason, it would have been known right after the game. Right. Myles Garrett would have told someone. He would have he might have even said it on the field. He might have even turned to the ref and said, "This guy called me this." Or he might have told his teammates. Or he might have told Pouncey he's punching him. Like, he would have said something. And for nothing to be said worries me that this was not actually said. Now, again, Myles Garrett might have thought he heard something. That's a different discussion. I don't know the science behind that or how much you can believe on that. But I think, and look, Mike Tomlin going to bat for Mason Rudolph, who, again, he doesn't really have to because Ben's coming back next year. Tomlin doesn't have to go to bat for him. You hear all the players. I've talked to Steelers players. They do not believe he said this. It also would be really an odd time, like, for Mason Rudolph to spout the N-word. Like, it doesn't get said like that in the field, I think, as much as people think it does. I know in movies we portray that sometimes as being said a bunch, but it doesn't get said on the field. Like, it's not something that gets spewed out very often. There are trash talking, there's inappropriate things being said, but racial slurs like that are not commonplace. And so I don't believe it. And to your point, the NFL has no reason to protect it. In fact, the NFL would probably want to protect Myles Garrett.
Oh, absolutely.
Superstar in the league.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Mason Rudolph is not Tom Brady. He's not royalty from the quarterback spot. We've got less than a minute left here in this hour, Dub. Let's see if we can get one more phone call in. You don't have a lot of time, caller, but go ahead.
All right, Anthony in Tennessee.
Hey, back to the Astros. Yes, when this broke, I wish I could have said I was more shocked to hear that there was cheating in professional sports. But once I heard that, I thought to myself, all right, well, let's see what he does. I'm okay with them giving immunity. I think I'm still okay with them giving immunity to the players, but at a minimum, I expected for that title to be vacated and even unprecedented, maybe a ban for the next 2 years, and they've done nothing. That's what's ridiculous to me.
All right, I appreciate it, Anthony.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Joined right now by, well, follow him on Twitter. He's at the old P. It's Petros Papadakis from AM 570 LA Sports out in Cali. What's going on, Petros?
Jason, hello, Mr. Schwartz. Hello, everybody.
So, I'm sure being the flagship of the Dodgers, the takes are very measured as it relates to this Astros situation. But I watch your Twitter feed, and how much fun have you had with this story, with this whole Astros situation?
I mean, it's a few-sided because I see it a bunch of different ways. Having been around a few of the Dodgers, and it's not like I hang out with the Dodgers, but we had to do our show at Justin Turner's golf tournament. And speaking of measured, you know, it was the day after the Kobe Bryant helicopter tragedy, and it was literally like 2 or 3 miles away from the actual crash site. So people were a little bit more kind of subdued. But, man, you could tell when you brought up the Astros thing, from Clayton Kershaw to Justin Turner to Cody Bellinger. I mean, there was a fire in these guys' eyes, and they were pissed. And, you know, whatever we do say about professional athletes, and we understand them, some of us are or were professional athletes, these are really competitive people. And they are livid about the way this thing played out, and it's not going away. I mean, the more the Astros speak, as you guys know, the more they're despised universally. At a certain point, though, and this is what I kind of started to bring up right off the bat and then a lot yesterday, is at a certain point, you know, when is it going to be about the 2020 season? You know, when is it going to be let's move forward because the dates are moving forward. The clock is moving forward. I mean, these guys are going to have to play. So I'm not really sure when that's going to take place or when all the – I mean, every expert we talk to says unprecedented, uncharted territory. I have no idea what's going to happen or how the players are going to police this. And I guess I feel the same way.
How do you feel the Astros are going to be treated in road games this
Well, I think
season?
It's going to be creative, right? I mean, there's going to be some bad things and some things that aren't okay. Like, you know, when people say the word beanball and use it casually or nonchalantly, I mean, a beanball is a 90-mile-an-hour fastball or whatever to the head. That is your bean. You know, getting nailed by a pitch is different, but getting hit in the bean is getting hit in the head, which is life-threatening, as we know. So, you know, that kind of talk, I think, is not cool. And I think it's dangerous. I'm not sure how people are going to react on the field as far as hitting these guys, but in the stands, I mean, there's going to be people dressed as trash cans, like the barrel guy in Denver. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
There's going to be people dressed as buzzers. There's going to be people with earpieces like the CIA everywhere with sunglasses on. I mean, it's going to be funny, and there's going to be a lot of funny. I mean, you saw the Phil Collins thing. Did you see that one?
Yes.
It was unbelievable. I mean, that stuff is hilarious, what people come up with. But, you know, it is amazing to me. It happens at my alma mater all the time, as you guys know. You have so much money, you have so much power, you have so much influence, and you're still unable to handle your own business when something really bad happens. Or you try to cover up something, and the cover-up or get it out of the way very quickly makes it much worse. And that seems to what has happened. That seems to be what's happened with Rob Manfred and baseball. And gosh, guys, I think it's going to be an unbelievable experience to watch this spring training and season unfold, much more so than we ever have had before.
Have you ever seen a commissioner sound as feckless? And it's like he's trying to downplay it to some degree in terms of not penalizing individual players, but in the process, he's almost made his sport seem meaningless. And I think that's what Justin Turner was intimating when he was talking about a piece of metal as Manfred related to what the World Series trophy was called. It's just like, in the process of trying to act like this is not Watergate, Manfred made baseball, he lessened the importance of baseball. It's like, it really doesn't matter all that much anyway. It just came across like he had no spine, and he didn't sound like an authority figure who was doing something for a sport that was important.
Well, let's go through the whole piece of metal thing, right? I remember the whole Reggie Bush Heisman, you know, yeah, why would you take his Heisman? It's just a piece of metal, this and that. I mean, let's simplify it. What's football? It's just a bunch of idiots in plastic outfits running into each other, right?
Yeah.
You know, what's baseball? One guy has a stick. I mean, you know, soccer. You can't use your hands, but you're just kicking it around. Like, I mean, all of it is simple and stupid. The reason we like competition and great athletic feats is because they reveal virtue and character. That's why, you know, we enjoy the drama of athletic competition. It's been that way for thousands of years. You don't have to get me to tell you about the ancient Greeks, I'm sure. But, you know, just to simplify it like that, it is your job to organize a game, really does make him seem out of touch. But, you know, guys, whenever a commissioner talks, and obviously these aren't people that aren't smart. I mean, they're wise people, they're educated people, but you know better than me that the collection of owners is really the commissioner of all of these leagues, whether it's the NBA, the NFL, the NHL, or baseball. And it's really hard to please all of those billionaires. And they're in a club, and they like each other, and they protect each other. And to a certain degree, they're probably all liking and protecting Crane. in this. The only guy that I've seen, I've only seen an owner rejected by his peers a couple times in my lifetime doing sports, and that would be the Donald Sterling thing, which was pretty obvious. And Frank McCourt.
Frank McCourt, yeah.
Yeah, they both happened in L.A. The Frank McCourt thing was amazing. But the reason Frank McCourt got ousted was because he was broke. You know, I don't think Crane is broke. You know, and these guys, they protect the crap out of each other, and they leave this guy up there talking out of both sides of his mouth, holding the bag. So I think it does go deeper than Manfred. I think, it's weird because there's a certain part of me that feels like a lot of these leagues want to be in the news in the off season. You know, I remember DeAndre Jordan getting chased around by Mark Cuban in Dallas, you know, or Houston when he was flipped over to the Clippers. He became the Clipper Flipper. And that was like 2 weeks that the NBA was in the news, like every day, tracking DeAndre Jordan, of all people, when they normally wouldn't be. And they enjoyed that, even though it was a little embarrassing for Mark Cuban, one of their owners. But I don't think MLB enjoys this, even though they're in the news constantly and leading it every day. But again, I don't know where it goes. But to answer your question in a terrible, rudimentary way, most of these guys sound feckless to me because, you know, how can you not when you're protecting, you know, 30-plus billionaires?
So how would you have punished the Astros players, if at all, if you were in charge?
Well, you would have had to get on top of it, right? Like, that, it would have been the players that you have to punish. And I think that is where, you know, the anger is. You know, there's a lot of rumors about people that are in the know, you know, about what may or may not have happened with Hinch and what, you know, how Hinch has kind of fallen on the sword for everybody and he's not that bad of a guy and this and that. And that it's really the players, you know, this was the players' decision to do it, and when the players were told not to do it or diverted from doing it, they found other ways to make it happen. And I think that's where you have the outrage, is because it's really kind of like brother on brother. And you understand better than me, you know, in the pro football world, you know, people do, to a certain degree, take care of each other.
Yes.
In a different way from college, you know. In college, I did not care who you were, what you. I didn't know you. I don't care if your kneecap flies off and hits your mother in the head in the stands. Like, I don't care. You know, I mean, we have enough problems. You know, my coach is going to get. You know, you're not a man. You're not. You know, you don't understand. You know, making a living and all these different things. And that's the way it is in professional sports. So it really is a brotherhood. You know, you guys are all in the same union and all that. And I think that's the real outrage here, because it's really stealing from your brother. You know, it's one thing, as has been explained to me by Oral Hershiser and many other great baseball people, a corked bat, a juiced up dude is one thing. But knowing what's coming is not even really playing the game at that level. And it's not okay. And it really was player on player. So what would I have done? You know, take the freaking rings. Take the rings and shoot them into the sun, you know. And suspend some guys. Or at least, you know, make some kind of example of the players so the other players don't feel like it's okay to do that to your brother out there.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think they had to punish the players somehow. You mentioned college football. I'd love to get your take on a Pac-12 topic that kind of dominated last week. Mel Tucker, Colorado's head coach, got his salary doubled by Michigan State and got his coaching pool doubled as well. To me, the first thing I thought of is this is not good for the Pac-12 conference. What was your take on a coach getting poached by Michigan State like that?
Well, I mean, double the salary is double the salary. You know, and it's not like the Pac-12 doesn't make money, you know, which is what kind of I think is lost on people. They have a big contract with Fox. They have a big contract with ESPN.
Right.
Their TV deal sucks because they did their own TV deal. The Big Ten has a TV deal with Fox. They make money hand over fist. SEC with ESPN, they make money hand over fist. John Wilner has explained this many times, the writer from San Jose. You know, $10 million or $15 million more a year when you're making, you know, 70-something million a year or whatever, it doesn't seem like a lot to idiots like us, but, you know, in 10 years, that's $150 million more, you know, that Mississippi State has than Oregon State, which enables you to do this type of stuff. There's really two things wrong with the Pac-12. It's their TV deal, which they somehow brag about. I mean, it's unbelievable. And that's really what's hurting the conference. And the other thing is USC sucks. You know, Oregon can't carry the flag from way up there in the corner. Washington can't carry the flag from way up in the corner. I mean, they're good programs. They're great programs. But, you know, the East Coast needs USC to succeed in order to pay attention to the West. The Pac-12 needs USC to succeed. And USC's not even paying their coach. I mean, USC's coach is like the middle-of-the-pack, highest-paid guy in the Pac-12. And frankly, he's overpaid. You know, we all talk about Clay Helton all the time. You know, that's a long-standing thing. And those things are really holding the conference back. The quick fix is, you know, you hire Bob Stoops. You hire, you know, Urban Meyer. If obviously, there were some obstacles there. But if you make that hire, then suddenly game day is on your doorstep three or four times at the Coliseum again. And that would help the conference because, you know, that's USC Oregon, that's USC Washington, that's USC Cal, USC Arizona State, you know, that now the country's looking at, kind of like we all did during the Pete Carroll era. So to me, those are the two things. They're glaring, two wrong things with the Pac-12. They did a terrible TV deal. Obviously, I don't think the commissioner is probably in the right position. maybe he should go back to tennis. And I'm, honestly, guys, I mean, come on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's so funny with the conference because, you know, you had Tom Hansen, who was the commissioner when we played, right?
Yeah.
And Tom was the kind of guy whose, like, brother-in-law would pick him up if he was going into Tempe. You know, he wore like a suit from JCPenney, and he had a flat top, and he was like a dinosaur, and he was a wonderful man. But you know, the conference was very behind because he was like a dinosaur. And then we got a guy that like takes a limousine to go a block in Larry Scott. It's like, couldn't we just get somebody in the middle? But I just don't know how they fix their problem regarding their network, because I mean they're now a decade behind everybody else.
Petros, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Next time you guys talk to me, the Pac-12 is going to be like the Mountain West.
Love him, jeez, man.